Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Today, I'm joined by Pastor Lisa Young. She and her husband, Ed, are pastors of Fellowship Church in Grapevine, Texas, with campuses all over the DFW Metroplex. They are also New York Times bestselling authors. Please stay tuned as we explore the topic, the lost art of hospitality. Well, welcome, Lisa, and thank you so much for joining me on this podcast today. I've been looking forward to it so much.
I'm so happy to be here. Anytime with you, Kay, is fun. So I'm really happy to be here. Okay, so my husband and I live in Dallas, and he is the senior pastor at Fellowship Church, and I'm his sidekick. So we have four kids. We grew up in the East, South Carolina. We were high school sweethearts and then married. And, you know, long story short, we have four children, beautiful kids. Our oldest daughter, Lee Beth, is in heaven. And then we have three children here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. They all work with us at Fellowship Church. With the exception of my daughter-in-law, who is a NICU nurse. And so we have just a fun time. I mean, it presents itself with, you know, we work together, but we play together. And then I have, better than any of that, I have six grandchildren. So
I remember, well, we had grandkids before you.
Yes.
And saying, just wait. And then you had so many so close together.
I know, but people tell you that it's better than your children. And I mean, I would give my life for any of my kids, but I didn't believe them. I was like, how is that possible? Well, it is. It's possible.
It's like my husband says, in a book he wrote, he says, being a grandparent is like getting a second chance, a do-over at parenting. And mm-hmm. So you feel like you're less stressed.
Yes.
And sleep don't matter to us as much. So we're like, we got this.
And you know that rest is on the horizon.
Yes.
Send them back to their parents.
That's right. You know, this is only for a short period. And then
yes,
they're going to go away and I'm going to clean my house again. I'm OCD with a clean house. So I have to let it go when they're here and just in this, you know, let it go. But I love my grandkids. I know you do too. I love that you post about them a lot. And that's mostly what I post about on social media. And so today, our episode, I'm calling it the lost art of hospitality, but we really are going to focus on hospitality. But I feel like that this generation, well, not Gen Alpha, but Gen Z and also millennials are struggling maybe with the old art of the age old art of hospitality. And I hear a lot of people, I see on social media where, you know, people will be having friends over to watch the game, or they're entertaining, they're having people over. But I feel like there could be a difference, and maybe we haven't taught that or we don't understand it, between entertaining versus hospitality. How do you feel about that?
So hospitality and entertaining are definitely different. But I believe that entertaining can be a segue from hospitality. Some people would think entertaining is the precursor to hospitality, but it's not. Hospitality is the origin. And then from that, we entertain. Hospitality is interesting in that, biblically speaking, it's commanded. Now, some people have a gift of hospitality, the gift of taking care of others' needs. And that's really what hospitality is. Hospitality, it has the word hospital in it. And so anyone with a need is seeking to find care. And the Bible commands that of us. It commands us to be hospitable, to care for others, to seek helping the needs of others. And that can be presented in many different forms. Ed, my husband, often says that I have the gift of hospitality, and that is a spiritual gift. And I do believe he's right. I think I do. And I enjoy entertaining. So it's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? But definitely I would answer that with hospitality comes first.
I love that answer. Because I think just what you said when you started, I would just off the top of my head say, oh, well, entertaining's first because that's more surface and hospitality is deeper, but it's hard to entertain what you're saying if you don't have
that heart,
because yes. Then it's just a chore that you're checking off that you have to have people over because they want to watch something, or you have to entertain, in our case, maybe some staff members or anything. And I don't ever want that to be a chore.
Well, in entertaining, you think about that being more of an event versus hospitality is more of an environment. It's more of an intuitive calling, if you will, that I want to be a person who cares for the needs of others. Now, that in and of itself seems so simple. Of course, I care for the needs of others, but it's interesting how broad that can become. For example, I was just talking to someone about, I'm thinking that your audience is probably largely female, so I'm going to talk about a mammogram. That's okay. But, you know, you get to that age where you have to do that every year. And so last year I had some issues. And so I ended up having to go in for a biopsy, and I went to this very renowned place here in Dallas. It's the best of the best. And so I go in to do these procedures, and there's women in there who are already embarking on chemo. They've got scarves on their heads. They've lost their hair. And so I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, Lord, if I am presented with this, you know, okay. But I felt so, I don't know, my heart just was extended to those who were already in this journey. And the receptionist at this clinic, you know, it was like they would go to the window, just like I went to the little window with my paperwork and everything. And it was like insurance card, driver's license, you know, very curt, very just business. And I'm thinking, how difficult would it be just to add a few more words that extended hospitality? So we're not talking about entertaining, a mission trip or taking care of the needs of people in that broad spectrum. We're talking about everyday kind words, soft words that help difficult situations. And in contrast, I just went this year, and by the way, everything was fine, but I went this year
for my
yearly mammogram. And I went to a much smaller place closer to my home for the initial mammogram. And I'm talking, they were so nice. Hi. And my appointment was at 7:15 in the morning.
Wow.
And just, hello. Hi, Mrs. Young. It's so good to have you today. They had a bowl on the counter with scripture cards and words of encouragement. And they had signs in their lobby even with encouraging words. And I thought they just took time to add that layer of hospitality.
I love that. I looked up so many definitions of hospitality, and I looked up one, and just exactly what you're saying. The first few words of it says, the hospitality is friendly, welcoming behavior. And that's what you just said about the doctor's office. And in any, my grandkids, my grown boys don't make so much fun of me anymore, but my grandkids are just like, they can't even believe how I talk to anybody. And every line I get in, they're going, KK, do you have today? Today, you don't have to. Apparently, and talk to all these people, just look forward. And I turn around and I find something to say to someone. And I have so much of my dad in me. I just like to be friendly and make new friends. But also I think, what if I'm the only person that talked to them today? And anyway, that comes.
And that's a great quality. My husband has that same gift.
Are you more of an introvert?
More of an introvert. So I'm the one that looks at Ed and says, you know, do you have to start up a conversation? Because we really are on a time crunch, you know?
Don't put Ed and I together.
Yes, I know.
And he and your husband, in the same way, he really is interested in people. He wants to know everything about everybody right around him. And I've never seen someone ask so many questions.
We could maybe just talk about this, about me being an introvert, but yet having this gift of hospitality. So I think with that gift, I definitely care about people's needs. I want to rush to the issue if someone has it. I'm feeling very convicted right now because my neighbor had foot surgery about 3 weeks ago, and I checked in on her, but I had every intention of taking something over to her house, a meal or something, and I have not done it. So I have something in the works, and I am going to make it right. But that's the kind of nature I am. But as an introvert, as far as starting conversations, things like that, that does not come naturally to me. And I've learned from my husband the art of asking questions. And often that is kind of the ticket, if you will, the entree to getting to know someone. And I've heard him say, we're usually one question away from a breakthrough. And everyone we meet matters to God, so they should matter to us. Everyone we meet is either hurting now, they've been hurt or in pain in the past, or they're going to have pain in the future, and they have needs. And so we are really one question away from a breakthrough. And I'm not saying, you know, in the grocery store line, you're going to start talking about someone's, you know, very personal needs or whatever, but often we're in such haste in life. And that to me is one of the big deterrents to hospitality is haste.
Being I was gonna ask you, why do you think we don't do that as much? We were pastors of a church for almost 30 years, on staff at the same church for 43 now, but we transitioned the church lead pastor position to our son, Dustin, and his wife, Mandy, 4 years ago, but we're still on staff. And I find myself that I'm still on everybody's meal train. I'm still meal training, and I get an invite to every meal train for every surgery and every staff thing. And I look at our staff and say, do you guys not know how to cook? Why is it Tammy and me? They're on every meal train.
Okay. And it's not just cooking. I have gotten now, okay, because I am busy. I don't like that word busy. My schedule is very full. So, and I used Uber Eats gift cards and things like that, where they can order a girl in our church. One of our staff members just had a baby, and her husband had surgery 3 weeks ago, and like debilitating surgery, very difficult. And here she was with two young kids and pregnant. And I just did an amount on a gift card where she could continue to order food. So it's not a question of whether or not you can cook. Cooking has zero to do with hospitality.
And again, I think we get that in our head.
I need to be able
to cook a wonderful meal that takes lots of layers to be able.
And you know what does have to do with hospitality? Thoughtfulness. And when you're too full in your calendar, busy to think of others, you're missing the purpose that God has for your life. Truly. I just think it's
critical to this.
Boils down to that.
That's critical.
If I'm too busy to care about others, how will I ever be able to share with them the purpose that Christ has for their life? The very essence of evangelism is hospitality.
And do you ever, and I have to catch myself, because I would say, and I think people around me would say, that I'm extremely hospitable and I open my life and my home, but I catch myself sometimes. If my phone, if it rings, I look down and I think, you know, I'm running, I'm going. And what you're saying right now just reminds me, even, am I willing to take time to also go to the next level if I need to, you know, with someone? And I think what you're saying is so crucial, that if there's someone watching or listening to this podcast and maybe they're thinking, I work full time, I don't have time to cook, I don't have time to even run by and get something. Just, we're in the, you know, day and age where we don't, where everything's a phone, a touch of the screen away.
And you mentioned why it's a lost art. So you are very familiar with the term, the alpha generation, Gen Z, whatever. I had to look that up when you mentioned it to me in our pre-conversations. So I looked up the demographics, but all of those, they have been raised in the culture of technology, which you and I we're older, okay? We just are. Yeah. But we were not raised. In fact, I was talking to a young woman today, being hospitable because she had a need and I had experience in her need and could share. And I told her, I said, when the doctor called us in 1991, he used a landline and we answered on a landline. But this generation, her generation and others are so tied into technology. They have personal computers. They have, I mean, I was raised no personal computer. We had to go to the library if we wanted to look something up.
We had a encyclopedia. My mother bought a set from the grocery store.
Right. And so this, which that is a good thing on some regards, but everything that is good will have a counterfeit. And the counterfeit is that it has become an obsession. Last night, we gathered here in our home for my husband's birthday with our family and kids. And at one point, and I know he's an adult, but I looked over and said, EJ, put your phone away. And he was looking up some things kind of that were funny with the conversation. But even that requires that your phone be right there. And perhaps it's better if we just could drop our phones. Now, I understand if you have babysitters and you, that's the big excuse. Oh, the babysitter might need me.
Well, my sister might need me.
Yeah. When we were young and had kids, if we went to the movies on a date night, they would have to call the movie theater to come get us out of the place because we didn't have the cell phone. So I do get a little bit tickled with all of that. But all that to say is technology takes more of our time than we realize. And again, hospitality is about thoughtfulness. And if you don't have time to think of others, then you need to rearrange your schedule. And it's intentional. So whatever in life that needs to be a part of our life, whatever is, you know, uplifting, whatever God wants us to be about, takes intentionality. So hospitality is one of those things, and we have to be intentional with it. And I would also add, just with my neighbor, as I mentioned, you know, she is well off. She has lots of friends, and I'm sure she's had meals brought to her. Even a text is a demonstration of hospitality. If I text her as I look out my window in my kitchen and I see her house and I just take the time to say, Jackie, I'm thinking of you. I hope the healing process with your foot is going well. If you need anything, text me. How easy is that? And I've been on the receiving end of that, and I know how meaningful it is.
You mentioned, you know, you're referring to the Bible, and we talked about this before even this podcast, but it's biblical. You know, it sounds like it's just a good thought to be hospitable. You know, it seems like it is the right thing to do, but the Bible is so clear. My favorite scripture, and I know you have several, but I even put this in the cookbook in the foreword, but Proverbs 11:25 says the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And I think every time I'm being hospitable, that refresh is a huge word, because it's more than what you're saying. It's more than the meal. It really is. When someone's intentional toward me with the gift of hospitality, whatever it is, if they send me the gift card or they write me the handwritten note, and you're so good at that, the handwritten note, and it means so much. I would say that my love language is not words of affirmation, but I also enjoy them. I don't want to be beat up. So I like words of affirmation.
Yeah, yeah.
People like them. So I love to refresh. Am I refreshing people in my life? So I'll be refreshed.
Well, think about the great commandment. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Who's your neighbor? I think there's some layers, practical layers in hospitality. One would be with your family. Another would be with your neighbors. Another would be in your workplace. And then another would be through the church. And they bleed into one another, but hospitality with the family. I was very fortunate to grow up in a home where my mom, she was a cook. And that was a lot of how hospitality was parlayed. But we had you know, when someone would come to church from out of town, maybe to do a choir thing, we would open up our home and often they would stay in the guest room because that was what we did back in the day. You know, they didn't do hotels. They just relied on people to provide housing for the visitors. So everything from that, I saw them do that through the church. I saw my dad and mom attend things for my dad's work that created hospitality, which was just simply connectivity. They weren't hosting anything, but they were connecting with people from the workplace. With our family specifically, we had family gatherings in the backyard. My aunt and uncle lived next door. My grandparents lived within a mile. Relatives would come in, and we just, and in the South, Kay, it has to be around a meal. I mean, we would do fish fries. We would have spaghetti nights, whatever. And so that was kind of the family thing. And then with friends, my parents remember they had a bridge club and they would on Friday nights, once a month, they would get together with neighbors and have card tables set out and play bridge. I loved it because they put candies on the edge of the table and invariably my sister and I would steal the candies and my mom would have to replenish before anybody came over. But those were just some things that I saw as a kid. And I think that they are true today. I mean, Ed and I entertain for that reason. We know that it's about connectivity, but I was raised that way. This generation has not been raised that way because they are the children of those who have been saturated in technology. My girls, I have three girls, Lee Beth is in heaven, but my twin daughters have thanked me for teaching them how to host people, how to start a conversation. And they really thank their dad more for that, how to engage with people. And now they're the ones who are participating in the meal trains and the follow-ups. And I'll have one of my daughters, because we all work together, she'll say, hey, mom, just a reminder, so-and-so had surgery and you might want to just shoot them a text. So it's catching.
That's I love that. And your girls also, I will add, when I come to Dallas to visit and we visit your church, they search us down. And I know we're not the only ones, but they search us down to be the conversation starter. And they act like that we're the only people that came from out of town and that we're most important people in the world. And that kind of thing is definitely taught and caught. They've seen it and they've heard it. And they're just special.
Well, they do love you though, Kay. I mean, you're a really fun person too. So I do know.
It's a young thing.
It is. And it's something that I feel is an obligation for parents. You know, we talk about parenting and discipline and all of that, but I feel like there's a missing element with parenting. We are, and I had to watch out for this too. We get so caught up in whether or not our children are enrolled in the latest sporting event or classes. We have them so scheduled with all these different things, and yet we don't take time to model and teach hospitality. And I know that my children saw, because I put them in that car seat, I put them in that seatbelt, and they saw me load the casserole in the back of the Suburban and put some flowers or whatever. They were with me upon delivery. And that was not by accident. I mean, I didn't really have a choice. I didn't have a babysitter that I could leave them with. But it was a good thing because they saw it and that was modeled and taught. And they saw the work behind it. I mean, yeah, I did cook meals. And that wasn't the only way I was hospitable. But we need to do a better job of thinking about it, understanding the purpose behind it, and also knowing as Christ followers, if we are Christ followers, we're commanded to do this.
And, you know, we've often, I believe, heard this said, and I really do try to live it out, that if I am going about my day and I have a thought about someone or I think about them, I really do try to stop down when I'm not driving and just send a quick text. And I try to say, no need to respond. Mm-hmm. I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. And I think that it's being maybe in ministry so many years, but even now that we don't have that role as lead pastors, I'm constantly surveying the congregation at church, seeing who I know that's not there and maybe who's missing and what could they be going through something. And I really do think if God puts someone in our heart, that hospitable heart says, I won't just think it. I'm really going to stop down and write the card or send the text, just a text.
And some of that is experience. I definitely think we have to embrace the benefits of being older.
Yes,
there's a lot of downsides to it, but we're going to embrace the benefits. And one of the benefits is that we've realized ourselves the importance of receiving something like that. And I've been on the receiving end of some incredible hospitality, grace, love, prayers, and all of that is a part of it. And so when we're older, I think we may be a little bit more intentional. I've made it a commitment to pray for, like when I tell somebody, I'm going to pray for you. I've always been serious about it, but they're counting on those prayers. And I look at it differently now. I look at it like I've got a friend in Houston right now at MD Anderson, and she is battling a very aggressive cancer. And when I told her I would pray, I mean, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to text her, and I tell her, I said, please know I'm praying regardless of whether you get a text from me, but I just make myself do it. And I think we have to be careful not to be flippant on our commitments to pray for people or to look after people. And the older we get, the more we realize, okay, this is a really big deal.
I was in a conversation yesterday by text with a young lady in our church. And I just said, man, I've got all these podcasts, you know, I'm going to start doing, and I'm nervous about it. And I really would like some prayer because I want God's words. I really want to help people through all of this. And she said, I'll pray for you. She said, you know what, let me just pray right now. And she texted this most wonderful prayer to me right then. And honestly, I felt my spirit just calm. And you know, when I woke up today, I thought, I'm not going to say I'm nervous. I'm going to say I'm excited because I felt that shift. I felt that shift with the prayer, and that someone, you know, instead of just, you know, and I'm sure she's praying today, but she took the minutes then just to type out a prayer.
Absolutely. And
so much to me. So that's a way to make sure you pray.
And we kind of think, oh, well, I don't want to embarrass them. I would say 9 out of 10 times, or maybe 99 out of 100. We're not going to embarrass them. Right. We're going to honor them.
Right. That's exactly how I feel. I've wanted to just mention this. I love everything we've said, but you mentioned when you're taking meals and your girls were little and you might put together a flower arrangement. Well, I happen to know that your creative ability is sky high. I just saw on social media, I know that you had it done, but you had the brains and the creativity to know to redo a table. I'm thinking there's such thing as a paint and lacquer place. That, because I have a dining room table that's the old, you know, cherry, you know, mahogany, and you know, I need to bring you out here and ask you what to do with it. But I thought, I didn't even know people did that. So you think, I mean, I don't have a beautiful leopard chair in my home and that artwork behind you. And so I know.
Okay, can I tell you about this artwork? Let me see. Yeah.
But you go to resale, you get the best deals.
Okay, well, that is the best deal because this piece of art was done by my husband and my daughter, Beth.
Oh.
So he had begun the painting. He's an artist, and he's kind of like a jack of all trades, except he's not handy. He can't fix anything, but he can paint.
That's why you had to hire the lacquer and paint company.
Yeah. So he had worked on the painting, and she came over, and this was when she was not in the terrible, terrible throes, but she was dealing with her depression and some addiction issues. And he asked her, he said, why don't you paint with me? And so she added, and so it just, he goes, Lisa, I want this framed. And he kept it in his office. And then we just moved last summer to this house. And I was like, I have a friend who's helping me with decor, and she's just unbelievably gifted. But she, I said, Susan, this has to find a priority place. And so I'll have to show you. So I love leopard print. So she helped me find these chairs, and then my other chairs are pink. So they kind of, everything in the room is is from that.
When you travel to fellowship, and I know your hand is in when gifts are delivered. So you have such an eye, and you really love to theme and make things special, even your parties. And somebody will post on social media when you have over for dinner, you're just great at the theming. So if someone, I mean, I'm good at copying someone's theming.
And that's great. I copy too.
What would you tell someone that says, my home, I don't feel like my home's this nice. I want to entertain and be hospitable, but how do I need to make it look, does it have to be a certain way before it's, mine are not always Instagram worthy. I can tell you, our family dinners are not always beautiful. They taste amazing. So how does somebody stop saying, I can't do it, and to turning it to say, I'm going to do it?
Okay. So I love decor and design, and I love table settings. I've got my Easter stuff out right now. The trick of the fresh flowers up there, and I have some on my table, Sam's Club, they have the best flowers, roses, 2 dozen roses for $15.99. So I buy myself fresh flowers all the time. So, but that's my knack and my gift. Okay. You don't have to work outside of your giftedness, be yourself. But here are the things that I think are non-negotiables. Cleanliness. When you're having people to your home, you want to defer to them. You want things to be spiffed up. My kids used to see me vacuuming and then, Mom, who's coming over? And I'm like, well, so-and-so. But that's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean you're being not being yourself. It just means you're caring. And so it doesn't mean you have to go all out with, you know, a scrub brush on the floor, but just basic cleanliness. Also think about the needs of your guest. If you are going to do a meal, if you're going to do something like that, you know, check and see if they have food allergies, see what they like. And if you're not going to cook, just say, hey, we're going to order so-and-so from this restaurant. Would you have a preference? And you're just deferring. And then when someone's at your home, the conversation, we equate this with church. When people come to church, we try to make our worship services simple to understand, because we have a complex message with the gospel of Jesus, death, burial, resurrection. People are like, well, wait a minute, explain that one to me.
The whole thing.
Yeah. And you can make it very complicated. It's a lot more work to make it simple. And it's not making it dumb. It's making it understandable. And so when people gather around your home, you want to ask questions, you want to defer to them, and you don't want to talk over their head, or you don't want to talk exclusively. For example, my husband talks about, he's a fisherman, and our family loves to fish. He and I fish, all this stuff. But if you had somebody who, in your home, that they don't even like to go to the ocean, they hate bodies of water, then we're not going to drive the conversation around the time we spend at the beach or fishing or all of that. We're going to find something common to loop them in and bring them into the scenario. That is more important than decor, than table settings. I've even said before, you can display pizza boxes creatively. And Dixie makes incredible paper plates that have designs now. So don't fall back on the excuse of my house is not big enough. I don't have decor, all of that. Hospitality is in the heart before it is in the decoration of your home.
I love that so much. And like we've been mentioning about technology, we can Google. Now you just said that. I'm going to Google how to decorate with pizza boxes for a pizza party.
Yes.
Put the pizza out. That's what I think. Once maybe they could say, first step is I clean my house and have friends over. And then the next time I can take it another level and try to have fun with decor, because it makes us more proud, or invite your friend that's good at it to help you.
And I do think creativity is something to try to incorporate in hospitality, because it just makes things interesting. I had a conversation yesterday with our children's pastor, who we're planning a daddy-daughter dance, and it's a Western themed glam. And so we were debating about food, because it's hard to keep it warm, but yet it's at 6 o'clock. So people are going to be hungry, blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, go simple, go even PB&J sandwiches, cold things, but name it creatively. and relatably to the event. So maybe for the peanut butter and jelly, we're going to have some, you know, country sticky sandwiches, or I don't know, I'm just throwing stuff out there. But we talked about, I can't remember some of the names. I actually came up with some pretty good ones, but I can't remember them now. But that just...
Because we're 63. I'm about to be 63. I think that...
I'm already 63. Yeah. So it does, you know, like with the pizza boxes. So what would happen if you said, if you Googled, how was the pepperoni pizza created? And you wrote the story on the back, on the inside cover of the pizza box. You know?
I'm going to do it.
This would be the one that I want to know, is the pineapple and ham one. I don't understand that pizza.
Put that together. Well, in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, we put green chili on everything. We put it on eggs. We put it on everything. And
oh yeah,
we have it on our pizza, green chili. We have pepperoni and green chili is a real staple here. So who was the
think
first?
Think about how easy, just to say, who thought of green chilies, or what, how many varieties of green chilies are there? What's the difference between a hatch chili and a whatever? I don't understand that. It's like, did it come out of an egg?
A hatch chili is ripe. That the season is the fall, because okay. I took some chili to take to my DC daughter-in-law a few weeks ago, and I had to get California chili that was here. Nice roasted whole chilies, because the hatch New Mexico chili is not till August, September.
But see, you just shared with me something that I have no idea about. And think you, I mean, just with the Sharpie marker, writing it on the back of a pizza box.
I mean, really? I love that. And you could take just a fun gathering with friends. It really isn't like something you would call, it's just something you do naturally. You have your friends over, and maybe you're going to watch games on March Madness. But
yes.
Turn it into something a little extra, because I love the idea that extra... People put a bad connotation with that word now, that they're extra. But I think that extra just means going the one step further.
Further.
Yes, that makes us a little
It's bit like that question. One more question to get to the breakthrough. One more touch of detail to tell someone, I thought about this. I cared enough to think about this. And that's fun. It's fun.
The pizza box. I mean, I love all the spiritual stuff, but this I would in my life never thought. I mean, it's so good. And we do it at church, but I think, and I love that you're involved in the daddy-daughter dance, because I mean, your church is very large and multi-campuses everywhere. But to the fact that they know to ask you, let's ask Lisa. So,
and that's, we teach this with our children and with our staff. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Ask people who have gone before you. We'll go to other churches and say, hey, how do you do your prayer and care ministry? What are some details that help, you know, take it that next step, go to the next level? And so I know that I do have some experience. I have the gift of hospitality. We even had a staff meeting a couple of weeks ago where we talked about the art of the handwritten note. And it happened because of a mistake that was made in our office, where some notes were sent out digitally versus personally. And when I found out, I was like, it took my breath away. I was like, I would never send them. It would be like me sending you, Kay, a digital thank you note, like with, you know, Ed's handwriting on, which is crazy that they can even do that now. And so we had this whole conversation about people are worth the time. Of course, there's times that we send things out that are mass produced because of the size of the church and about, you know, but when it comes to personal relationships, personal connectivity, someone is, you know, in a life and death situation, they don't deserve, nor is it God honoring to get a digital note. And, you know, of course, they're going to get a phone call, they're going to a visit. But if we're going to write a note, we need to know how to write a note. So I literally did an app session on what's the best way to compose a handwritten note.
And yours are always, the lines are perfect. I know that because I've had your handwritten notes. So they are. I'm signing cards when I sent the cookbook out, and I'm like, my hand writes all over it. And I thought, And I'd say to myself, what would Lisa do?
No,
really. But you, your lines, I know you you measure that out.
I used to have one of those things that you could write in. And then you're like, okay, but this is a why. How do I drive down below that?
I've done that. I made myself a cue card the other day for this podcast for something. And I didn't have the tail on the G or whatever. I'm supposed to, I couldn't even read the word that I wrote. So I feel like, you know, I started off by saying this is the lost art of hospitality, because sometimes I feel like maybe we haven't lost it, but it's easy to get lost. You said something to me the other day about we could choose this, but it's a lot of effort. But it seems like people sometimes choose to punt the ball when it comes to hospitality, because it's just, you know, we don't want to go for fourth and just punt because it's the safest thing.
Oh, how I love your football analogy.
I'm sorry. And I have my brackets for March Madness, and I have Alabama going to the Final Four. And I'm like, I don't know. Anyway. Well,
quickly, is New Mexico still in?
Yes, we're 11th seed, but they won the Mountain West. So we're very excited. And New Mexico.
You and I are hilarious. We're talking about providing meals for people, but we got March Madness on.
And listen, that's what I say to Stephanie White all the time. I want to go with her to an Alabama game. Maybe when Alabama plays, if they play South Carolina.
Okay, yeah, we should all go.
I don't want the group to end thinking, you've given me, honestly, so many ideas and also just stirred my heart. And that's what I want. You know, I have three daughters-in-laws that would be in the, you know, millennial age group, but I have grandchildren in Gen Z and Gen Alpha, and I want them to see me. I want them to do this. I want them to know how to do it. So, you know, you mentioned showing others around us how to do it. You know, you always say you can teach things, but you have to catch them too. They're taught and caught. I've heard that from you many times. And also to go the extra step, just whatever we were going to do, just to take it one more step and see the possibility. And that's just one scripture, that the generous will prosper. And if we refresh others, my soul will be refreshed. And if I do to others, you know, my mother always quoted the golden rule. She said it all the time. And so she said, what does the golden rule say? But that's another thing. If I do to others, I'm planting seed, I'm sowing that others, you know, if I need that one day, people will do it for me. In closing, do you want to close this up with something?
There are a lot of fun and creative aspects to entertaining that are connected to hospitality. But I would just say that it's more about the purpose behind it. When Jesus has transformed your life, and you have this understanding of the forgiveness of sin, the new life in Christ, then you're going to want others to have that. And the most important way we can do that is through the entree of care and love. And, you know, when Joshua was such a great leader in the Old Testament, and, you know, Moses handed things over to him, but he had a big blind spot. And it said that, you know, Joshua, there was a generation that came after him that knew not the Lord. What possibly could have been those things that were dropped that kept that generation? I mean, it refers to them as a generation who knew not the Lord. And it's tragic. We have to be intentional about the purpose of hospitality so that we're carrying that ball, the football analogy, downfield, and we're going to score a touchdown. And we are going to have subsequent generations who will understand what it means to care for people, to love people, but not just to make ourselves feel better, to fulfill the purpose that God has for our life.
That's just a great ending to a fun conversation. Honestly, the time with you, I wish I had done this before. I just feel, you know, just refreshed being with you. I think the world of you, Lisa, and your family. You are a shining example to so many of us who've been friends and followed you for so many years. And God bless you. And I'm going to see you in just a couple of weeks. So I'm excited.
I know. And I just love you to death. And I feel the same way about you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks.
For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.